Shall we turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We've had a wonderful picture brought before us of what the home should be and how the home can reflect in the assembly, and what a wonderful thing it is. And here we have in chapter 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians what a Christian is in God's sight. May we all measure up ourselves to see that this afternoon we measure up to it. Paul is the writer again, and he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you and letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." The Apostle Paul uses here an illustration which was evidently common in the early church, and it exists today amongst us. We go somewhere where we're not known. What do? So as when we get there and we'll have no bother, and so as the people can accept us, we take a letter of commendation with us, don't we? And that is a very good practice, and it saves a lot of problems. But now the Apostle Paul could say to these Corinthians, he didn't need that. He didn't need that. He said, "You are our letters, our epistles, known and read of all men." And when those people saw Paul, they saw a man who had lived a Christian life, who had preached the gospel and had lived it out. And he expected to see exactly the same thing in every one of them. Isn't it a wonderful thing when I can go to a place and I'm known? I don't need a letter of commendation, I'm known. Everyone knows me so well. And this is what the Apostle Paul could say here. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, as in that other epistle, that other letter, but not on tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." Now in verse 5 he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." None of us could ever think anything of ourselves, because what are we? What are we? But when we think of Christ and what He is, and then through the rest of this chapter 3, He brings before us very clearly what the difference is between that old covenant and that new covenant. He brings before us what the old covenant, He said it was the letter of death. "If ye do these things, ye shall live by them." The law never saved a soul, and it was never sent to save a soul. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul could say in Romans, "If I had not known the law, I would not have known sin." But by the law I know what I am. And it's a minister of death because it, what does it do? It condemns me. It condemns me. And it's because of the law of God that I know I'm a sinner. Thank God for the law. We don't have the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. We've got nine commandments. The only one that's left out is Saturday, keeping the Sabbath. But the rest of them, the whole nine of them, are included in what a Christian should be. And this is what God expects to do with us. And He shows us here what the law couldn't do because it was weak. But by the rebirth that has come in to us, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, God can now show forth something different. He that is in Christ is a new creature. But we all, verse 18, but we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now then, some of us, when we look in a mirror, we get a fright, don't we? We don't like to look in it. But there should be something in every one of us that reflects Christ. That reflects Christ. I remember years ago, we had a dear brother from Argentine, one I love, he's one of God's Christian gentlemen. He came up to Bolivia, he always comes, he's an old man, he's in his 80 years of age. And he still runs around the world preaching the gospel, he's retired, he's an Arab too. And he still runs around the world preaching the gospel, and he likes to visit the remotest parts you could think of. And he's a lovely man. But there's certain things that really get under Donna Dibb's skin sometimes. And he was in our little assembly in Cobija years ago. We had an old beggar man in fellowship. This man had been struck, and he was paralyzed all down one side, and he had to walk with a stick he had made for himself and drag this leg around. There's no pensions, there's no dole, there's no social security. And above all that, he was a Peruvian, he wasn't even a Bolivian. And he had a big family, and the only way he could keep that family was going around begging. Well, on the Sunday morning, he used to sit in the front seat. He didn't have the gold ring on either. He didn't even have shoes on. And he sat there, and then between Sunday school and the breaking of bread meeting, he went outside and he begged a bit of money, and a Dib watched him. And he saw him, he put it in the collection, in the offering. And that really annoyed Donna Dib. And he came to us afterwards, and he onto me, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Well, I said, you've seen it now. He looked at me. I tried to speak to him and show him. I said, what would you do in Argentina? Well, I said, he'd get a pension down there, wouldn't he? Yes, he said. Well, I said, he doesn't get one here. And the law here provides that people give to these people. Anyhow, in the end, I got a bit sick of it, and I tried to get away from Donna Dib. And another one of the elders was there, and he was getting a little bit ruffled up too at the criticism of our dear old brother. And so he looks at him, he says, I'll tell you one thing. He said, he's 80% better than what he was. Now, isn't that wonderful, eh? At least he was 80% better than what he was. And Ola Dib put up his hand. When we got home, he said to me, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I said. And if you'd have known what that old man was before he was saved, that was the thing. He was now 80% better than ever he was before. Now then, he says, we reflect the glory of God. Now I want you to look into chapter 4 a little bit. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now then, brethren, it's a ministry to reflect Christ in the world with those with whom we work and whom we know, in our home, as we've just been hearing, in the church, in our work, in the street, with all that we come in contact with, to reflect Christ. It's a ministry God has given to us. People don't read their Bibles, but my, they read me. And they read you too. We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Now then, this is something that the world sees in the Christian. He doesn't walk in craftiness. Bit hard to be a Christian, a politician, wouldn't it? Not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. Ministers of the word, let us remember this. Be very, very careful what you preach on the platform. That you don't handle the word of God deceitfully. I once heard a brother get up and minister on a certain subject, and he read every verse bar one. And that one verse knocked him over. Therefore, he didn't read it. Now then, I don't believe that that's handling the word of God correctly. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. Let us be very careful that we don't do that. But by manifestation of the truth of God has got nothing to hide. And if we live it out, we're living epistles, known and read of all men. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to the brethren, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid or veiled, who are those that suffer? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I want to tell you, I'm 100% with our brother Tom. That was Tom Heasley that spoke, wasn't it? I thought I recognized his face. I remember his dad. And I'm 100% with our brother Tom and what he said. But brethren, we want to remember this. There's the lost outside. There's those whose homes are wrecked. There's those who've never been married and lived together. There are those who have been divorced and remarried two and three times. They're souls for which Christ has died. Let's remember that. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," doesn't say not one of these people, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And as we go out into the world with the gospel, as we teach it and live it, it must reflect Christ to these people. To these people. And if our gospel be hid, who are the ones that are suffering? It's those that are lost. Welcome them into your Bible, into your gospel hall. Sit beside them, open up your Bible. Don't open up your Bible and show, don't give them a Bible, because you'll only get them lost. They don't know anything about it. Sit beside them, help them, visit them. And when you go to their homes and you see the catastrophe that they're in, it's not by condemning them, but by showing them something better. Something better. And when they get saved, there was a brother and sister that wanted to be baptized. And I went along to their home. I thought I had a responsibility to show to him what my Bible said about divorce. This man had been divorced and remarried. And I read the scriptures to him, what the Bible said about it. He just looked at me. When I'd finished, I wondered what he was going to say. He said, "Yes, Elisa and I have read that." And he said, after we read them, we got down on our knees and we said to God, amazed that he would ever
save such as we. And he said, we both asked him to forgive us our past life, to give us a new one, and a new home, a Christian home. And he said, he heard me and forgave me. Think I was going to tell him he didn't? Brethren, we're going to face these things. And when you have 90% of your congregation, people that have been in these states, I can tell you, you think things a little bit different. The ideal what our brother gave us is absolutely what we should preach and teach, and Christians should keep it. The world hasn't kept it. They're ones for whom Christ has died. And we need to take the gospel to them. Let's go on a little bit further. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now then, who are these ones that are the gospel of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. That's every gospel preacher, every Christian that Paul is speaking about here. Living epistles known and read of all men. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a message this is. What an example we should be in pagan Australia, atheistic Australia today. In this land which has turned its back upon God as a whole, the Christian should shine out. Brethren, when will we see Australia revived? It's when the church is revived and shows forth. But we have this treasure. It's a treasure that God has in his people. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Just us. Vessels of clay. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Does this characterize us? We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oftentimes we're the greatest complainers that exist, ain't we? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now then look at the rest of this verse. Just look at it, please. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Keep on reading. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. May the Lord help us for his name's sake.